Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 18 of the 16-Bit Catholic Podcast. I am Dustin Faber, and this episode goes long. It goes over 16 minutes. I'm sorry that I failed in my promise that I made to you last week that all future episodes would be 16 minutes or shorter. And actually, I am further breaking my promise by adding more time onto this episode by giving you an intro instead of just letting the conversation that we recorded just play out. But I had to tell you about our sponsor. Our sponsor this week is Hi-C Ecto Cooler. It's back because Ghostbusters is back in theaters on July 15th. Actually, they're not a sponsor. I just wanted to practice in case we ever did get a sponsor. So maybe Hi-C is listening out there, or PlayStation, or a computer monitor made by Acer or somebody. I don't know who's going to sponsor this thing. But on the show today, James Ryan comes back. My semi-permanent co-host when the show used to air regularly every week. James and I, we used to talk for hours and hours about anything you could think of. Choose your own adventure, books, wrestling, you name it, we talked about it. And you can still listen to those episodes on 16bitcatholic.blogspot.com. But here, James and I, we tried the new format and we failed. We talked for more than 16 minutes, but it was fun. We talked about penguins and Easter Island and the new Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, which they should be our sponsor because they are awesome and much cooler than Hi-C Ecto Cooler, although Ecto Cooler is pretty good. I'm excited. It's come back. So I can't contain my excitement. My apologies for that. Anyways, I hope you enjoy this episode 18 of the 16-Bit Catholic. Have a great day. I don't know what I am. I'm having an existential crisis of my humanity or something. I don't even know what that is. Anyways, I am joined once again by my good friend James Ryan at Beer Baron for Life on Twitter and the host of Time Limit Draw on the Flawedcast Network. James, how are you doing tonight?
Greetings. I am excellent, and I am the host who can eat the most toast.
Oh, wow. You eat the host. Who have you eaten?
Eat the most toast.
I thought you meant you were eating the most toast, like you were just gobbling up podcast hosts left and right. You like dug up Ray Combs' grave and ate him too. I mean, I don't know what you're doing.
I go all over the place.
You did go all over the place because I tried to get you to do a podcast a few weeks ago, and you said, yes. "I am out of the country." Where did you go? Yes.
Well, I just got back a few weeks ago, or about 4 weeks ago, but I went on a gigantic 5-week voyage. The doctor girlfriend and I went on, who is my significant other, we went down to Buenos Aires. We flew to L.A. to Buenos Aires, and we went down to the south, the tip of South America, which is a city called Ushuaia, and that's where all the cruise ships leave, and we took a 3-week cruise to Antarctica.
Nice.
Yes.
You got to hang out with the penguins then.
We did. We hung out with the penguins. We hung out with seals. So we went to Antarctica. We went to the tip of Antarctica. We also went to South Georgia Island, which is a little bit north there, but it has tons and tons of penguins, all sorts of types of penguins. We were at a beach that had 300,000 penguins. It was insane.
That is insane. What did you learn about Antarctica? Because most people just think, oh, Antarctica, it's cold and there's penguins. Like, is there anything substantial that you learned, or was it just a pretty sight?
It's just, you know, it's really humbling because there's so much stuff happening that you don't even know about it because you're stuck in your own little town or your city or you're in your job. And when you get out there, it's just so humbling because there's these gigantic mammoth pieces of ice and glaciers and icebergs. We in the cruise ship, we actually went by a glacier that was the size of San Francisco.
Oh, are you serious?
I swear, and which that originally broke off a larger piece, which this larger piece was the size of the state of Rhode Island.
I guess I only think of those sheets of ice being like as big as like a football field or something like that.
Yeah, you would think that, you know, you see icebergs, you're like, oh, okay, that could take down a ship, you know, the one that took down the Titanic. But these are gigantic, they're massive, and they're just floating in the ocean. This one, the one that broke off that was the size of Rhode Island, we were told it was floating around the ocean, in that area for the last 20 years.
Wow. Not melting away or anything, just not floating in one spot.
Breaking off some little pieces every so often just because, it's not, it goes maybe a little north and then goes a little south. So, but yeah, it's just amazing. Really humbling to see just this amount of animals, the seals and the whales in the water and the penguins, and they're really curious. They come up to you and they just want to they stand near you, and then when you get a little close, they kind of turn around and walk away.
I like that you used the word humble, because I feel like a lot of people get jaded at like all the cool stuff that's around them, all the, be it nice-looking architecture or, nice scenes from nature and everything. So I like that you could take it in and enjoy it. You're not so jaded by life. It's like, oh God, I saw the stupid penguins and the stupid, things, and that was it, and we couldn't wait to get home. I like that you had a good time.
Oh, we had a wonderful time. And then right after that, like I said, South Georgia, we also went to the Falkland Islands, which are a really weird, it's right off the on the east coast of South America, and it's technically a British province. And it's a small British town out in the middle of nowhere. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and then actually right after that, just to finish up that, so we did that for 3 weeks. Then we did 1 week up in Iguazu Falls, which is on the border of Argentina and Brazil, which is, if you've been to Niagara Falls or seen that, this puts Niagara Falls to shame. This is an enormous set of waterfalls, and it is beautiful, and it's can't be more the polar opposite, dare I say, than Antarctica and those things. And then right after that, if that didn't tickle your fancy, we flew to Chile, and then Chile, we went to Easter Island and saw the Moai heads.
See, I think that probably would have been my favorite part, is seeing those Moai heads. Well, somebody had to build those things, and they didn't have like all the tools we have now like to build those things. Like, I don't know. If somebody said to me, like, hey, here's a big piece of slab, you and a few of your buddies go to work on this and start building one of these heads, like, I couldn't do it. I'd be like stoned before they would do that.
It has nothing to do with aliens either. I was really disappointed.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure. We were told our guide was actually, she could draw her lineage back to one of the main tribes there. Nice. And she said the heads are basically a depiction of the former heads of the tribes and the tribal kings. And they are used to kind of not only to honor them, but the present chiefs would look to those heads for inspiration and for judgment and for everything that they would need in running the tribe in the day to day aspect.
Did the guide say about how long it took them to build those heads? Like how long it took them?
It really depends on how maybe how fast they an elder would die, and then maybe they would commission that in the next, maybe so often, a couple weeks. And in maybe about a month or so, or maybe 2 months, they could have it done.
I'm looking on here. It says the tallest Moai erected, called Para, was almost 10 meters, 33 feet high, and weighed 82 tons.
Yes, that's most likely one of the final Moais ever built, because they just think of it as a computer program where this was version 1, version 2, every version, they got bigger and they got larger and they got more better facial features were carved in, with the ears and the nose and the eyes. So the rounder the Moai in the head is the older ones. So the ones that look more like our heads are the younger ones. They're still pretty old.
Yeah. How's it feel to go on vacation for 5 weeks, though? Like, the most that I've ever gone on vacation in my working life has been, like, 2 weeks or whatever. It's almost like you were back in school with the summer vacation.
It's so crazy. Yeah, if you've normally ever done about a two-week, as an adult, and 5 weeks is crazy, because about the first week, it basically was just decompressing from city and from work and everything like that, and just still kind of stressed. And then after a while, you just kind of melt away, and by the time the third and fourth week roll around, you're like, I don't ever want to get back. In the fifth week, you're like, I don't even know what day it is. What's going on here? It was amazing. Yeah,
that's a good vacation when you don't know what day it is.
Exactly. You don't know the date. You don't know the time. You just, oh, the sun's coming down. I'm hungry. Or, I guess it's time for dinner. Sure, no problem.
Oh, you said hungry. What was the best food that you ate on your trip?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, it was really, really a wide variety. I mean, in Argentina and Buenos Aires, they had an amazing the steak. They're known for their steak. They're known for their wine. And they have wonderful, amazing grass-fed beef. And it's so juicy and amazing. It tastes so much different than any California steak that I've ever had. But the greatest one of all was in Easter Island. It was I got a fish. I don't even know what it's called, but it was a fresh fish at this restaurant that we had that overlooked the beach. And it was the most just sweet and buttery. It melted in my mouth. It was a fresh caught fish. It was amazing.
Was it spicy or was it just like butter and herbs or how they?
It was just not even spicy, not even herbs. They put a little lemon and that was it. And it was just amazing and it came with a mashed potato, but it was sweet mashed potatoes. Amazing. Oh.
Man, now you're making me hungry.
I'm sorry. That's how I roll. But yeah, it was amazing. I mean, we went and plus also, I mean, on the ship for 3 weeks, we had about four meals a day, which were, you know, prepared by a wonderful chef and his crew, and you know, anything that you wanted, they basically had. It was really good. We really were fed well on this trip.
So you had pizza on the cruise ship then? They have pizza?
You know, I did. We did have a day that there was pizza for lunch. Yes, good. They made homemade pizza. It was really good.
Hey, my wife figured out how to make homemade sushi this week.
Whoa!
She made like little veggie rolls or whatever. Not California rolls. There was no crab or anything in them. But we're like, wow, we can make this, you know, for just a few pennies at home, almost. You know, instead of going out and getting fancy sushi or whatever.
Yeah, so. They do like to jack up the prices for the sushi.
Yeah, but yeah, it was just a simple veggie roll. I had the seaweed and the rice and some carrot and avocado and celery in it. It was fantastic, man. I want to get some like smoked salmon for it too. But I was very proud of my wife. Good job, Alicia.
Good job.
While we wrap up the vacation talk, before we talk about Wrestling World Fest, if somebody wanted to mimic your vacation, but they could only do one thing, either going to Argentina, Brazil, going to Antarctica, or going to Easter Island, which of those three would you pick for them?
Wow. It's really tough because, you know, when you saw the waterfalls, you saw the Moai heads, and then you saw all the wildlife and all the crazy stuff. I would say, first, if you had a chance to do any of them, definitely go down to Antarctica and South Georgia Island, because if you like wildlife, you are going to go nuts. And the picture-taking opportunity is amazing. And it's just to be in nature, just to immerse yourself, to not have to hear airplanes go over your head or helicopters or anything like that, and your cell phones don't work, and you know there's minimal internet on the boat, and it's just you're totally detached. It's really cool. I would say that. And then, you know, Easter Island was great too, because just the food was amazing. And just to be obviously away from, in the middle of nowhere, you're on an island, and it's really cool. So
I like that. We've got about 4 minutes left on this brand new format that I got. You know, I wanted to talk to you about wrestling, but at the same time, I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Star Wars The Force Awakens. I went and saw it in the theater 4 times. It's like a record for me.
Nice. I saw it twice. So you beat me.
Yeah, I don't know what movie's going to ever top that record. Like, I think it'd have to be like a Doctor Who or like a really good Marvel or DC movie to make me go to the theater 5 times. But
that's crazy.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Oh, man, I think I liked it better than the original trilogy, except for Empire Strikes Back. Like, for me, it's Empire and then Force Awakens and then Star Wars and then Return and then, like, getting run over by a car and then, like, any of those prequels or whatever.
You know, I liked it. Coming out of the first time, I really liked it. I thought I was really excited. Finally, you know, finally a really good Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Not the 4, 5, and 6. And, you know, I thought it really did some really good justice. I thought it was, you know, but after time, you know, time allowing, it kind of sunk in a little bit. Seeing it the second time, it kind of it cemented some problems that I saw personally.
Ooh, problems.
Yeah, I saw some problems. I would have twisted some things around. I don't think I would have taken I don't think that Kylo Ren would have taken his helmet off until maybe he confronted Han Solo. I thought taking his helmet off when he was talking to Rey was a little – it wasn't necessary. He needed to have the helmet to stay that intimidating force. I also think that Snoke shouldn't have said that, you know, the Millennium Falcon, your father, Han Solo. I think they should have just said the Millennium Falcon so everyone knows. Oh, wow, cool, Han Solo. And then the secret to be revealed, much like Vader telling Luke in Empire Strikes Back that I am your father, that when Han Solo, when he goes to confront Kylo Ren, and thinking, uh-oh, this is Han Solo. He's badass. He's going to do it. And then he yells out, Ben. And
you're
whoa, he's confronting his son. Holy crap. So I thought the holy crap moment should have totally been there. I think they blew it by saying like that. That's nitpicky and stuff like that. There were a couple other things I had, some weird things where all of a sudden we had to just kind of say, you know, agree that Poe Dameron, when he disappeared, when he reappeared, it was like, I actually thought in the first time I saw him that, maybe Finn was seeing like a ghost, you know, like a spirit. It was all in his head or something. Like
yeah.
That. So it was a little confusing with that. But, you know, other than that, it was a wonderful retelling of episode 4.
Nothing wrong with that. You know,
it hit some good notes, and it was great to see Han. It was great to see Leia.
Yeah.
Luke, especially at the end, and I can't wait for episode 8.
It warmed my heart seeing Han Solo and Chewie get on the Falcon, and Han being like, Chewie, we're home. And then he goes in the cockpit, and he kind of looks around and he smiles. So it's like, that's the Harrison Ford we know and love. No, I really loved Rey as a character.
Oh, me too.
And
me too.
I knew, because it came to the Dollar Theater, that was the fourth time I saw it, and I knew that my four-year-old, like, didn't have any interest in those kinds of movies, and would not sit still and would not pay attention, but I took her with me to go see that one, because it's a Star Wars movie, and even though she's four and probably didn't comprehend it, I still wanted her to see this really awesome female, as Lucy described it, superhero on the screen doing all these amazing things. Because, you know, I didn't see that a lot when I was a kid. Heck, you couldn't even buy action figures of, like, the female superheroes when I was a kid. Good luck finding Rogue. So I wanted to see that. You know, to me as a father, I felt like that was important for my kid to see that. But, yeah, I really love the movie, and I cannot wait for... I can't wait for episode 8, a year and a half.
Well.
And Rogue One. Oh, Rogue One looks fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I really liked her as a character. I thought that was a really cool, just everything about her, especially in the beginning. I love that, you know, she had that, you know, it was the little song that was playing, her theme song when she was sliding down the sand mountain. I thought that was a really, really cool, poignant moment. I really thought that was... wonderful piece of cinematography. Now, my question, because you're always asking me questions, who do you think Rey's parents are?
Palpatine. I think she's a Palpatine.
Oh, you think so? Really?
Yeah. I read an article that convinced me she has the same fighting style as Palpatine does.
Wow. Without the spinning, 360 that he did in episode 3.
Yeah, she does like the forward thrusting of the lightsaber, and like the article was saying, like, nobody has that fighting style except for Palpatine. Like, he does that when he's like confronting like Mace Windu, I believe, when they're fighting in episode 3, and he pointed out a few other instances. And you know, I like that. I think everything will get like reversed. You know, Ben in the original Star Wars was a good guy. Ben in this movie, bad guy. So you could take that Palpatine being an evil person in the original, flip it here, a Palpatine is like a source of good or whatever.
True. Now, what about the time sequence? Because that may not line up. She's supposed to be a teenager, right?
Well, she could be like a descendant. I don't think he would be her father. I think she might just be like a descendant of that family lineage or whatever. But the part that gave me chills, dude, was after Finn gets like knocked out, like in the woods, like when they're having that big fight, and Rey picks up that lightsaber and they hit that stringed version, that variant of the Force music or whatever, when she's holding it up. Dude, I think that's the reason why I went to go see it 4 times. I wanted to see that part. And when I get it on Blu-ray in a few weeks, I will be probably watching that over and over.
I cannot wait to get it on Blu-ray. Actually, one of my neighbors already has it. I heard him watching it a couple of days ago, and I saw him out, and I said, hey, you watching Star Wars a little bit ago? He goes, oh, yeah, you know, sorry about that. And I go, no, that was awesome.
You should steal it from him.
I should.
You should. And then go and steal that that Neo Geo system from that kid you went to school with.
Oh, man, well, I haven't seen him in many years. That's good.
We're going to track him down, and we're going to find him. We're going to take that Neo Geo machine of his.
I don't know if it's gold or silver system.
We're gonna do like Judas Priest, bro, breaking the law, man. That's our lives. Well, we are run plumb out of time. We'll have to get you back on the show sometime soon.
I know. I spent all this time talking about my travel trips.
I liked your travels. I liked hearing about the Easter Island because you don't get to hear that stuff. I have to go to boring Wikipedia to read that stuff. So apologies for going over. Sorry, this is now the 18-bit Catholic instead of the 16-bit Catholic. So, you know, whatever. Sue me. I'm not making any money off this thing anyways. So, James, any parting words for the folks?
If you can, travel. Travel, travel, travel.
I like that. You know what I'm going to do? When my daughter turns 10, we're going to get on Highway 71. It's like one of the only highways in the country that goes north to south. And we're going to start at my mom's house, which is where 71 is, right outside my mom's house. And we're just going to keep driving north until 71 ends right at the Canadian border. So,
nice. Go north, my son.
That's Yeah. We're going to go up to there. And I've always wanted to go to Hudson Bay, too. But that's a story for a different day. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, James, you can be found on Twitter at Beer Baron for Life, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, and you host Time Limit Draw on Floodcast. What wrestling show did y'all do most recently?
We just did ECW's Living Dangerously 2000. That is infamously known as the pay-per-view that New Jack and Vic Grimes almost killed each other jumping off a scaffold.
He straight up almost murdered the guy.
Yes.
Is New Jack still around, or is he dead by now?
No, surprisingly enough, he's still alive.
Oh, I feel like he's one of those people that should have died already. But Balls Mahoney is dead, and New Jack
Balls
is alive.
Mahoney just passed, yes.
Yeah, rest in peace, Balls Mahoney. But, well, yeah, everybody go check that out, and I will check that out. And, James, we will do this again sometime, and I'd like to talk to you after Payback, and WWE's Payback, not, like, me paying back some guy for beating me up or something like that. But we'll talk to you about Payback in a few weeks and see how you thought about the card.
Cool, can't wait.
All right, everybody, have a great night.